Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Yesterday, we were looking at the July issue of the Ensign magazine. We were looking particularly at an article titled, Understanding Our Covenants with God, an Overview of Our Most Important Promises. Now, yesterday, Eric, you had mentioned how this article does not have a byline on it. There is nobody claiming credit for this article. And you made the statement that that gives the impression that this must be something that the church is behind. Even though it's not a general authority, we have to assume this is something that the Mormon people are supposed to read and listen to, and I would assume have to heed also. The reason I bring that up is because there might be some Mormons who'll say, well, it doesn't have a byline, therefore it's not really all that important, and we can kind of take it or leave it. However, before anybody draws that false analogy, I want to read you something that was posted on the LDS Newsroom website. It was titled, The Church and New Media, Clarity, Context, and an Official Voice. Listen carefully, an official voice. How many times have we heard from Latter-day Saints, when you quote something of theirs, they say, well, that's not official. That's not what this says. It said in this article on this website, it says, in addition, information on official church websites is reliable and consistent with the doctrines and policies of the church. All materials on Newsroom and other church websites are carefully reviewed and approved before they are posted. It went on to say, in a complimentary way, Newsroom, LDS.org, and other church websites provide an official voice from the church. An official voice from the church. This edition of Ensign Magazine, as is many of the past issues of Ensign Magazine, is posted on LDS.org. So, we have to assume that this is considered to be an official teaching of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, I'd also have to say, as you mentioned, possibly somebody would say it's not that important. Well, this is the main article of this entire issue. And the reason I know that, underneath the cover of Ensign, it says, Covenants are most important promises in three times the font as everything else. This is obviously a very important issue. I think it gives a general idea of what the church is saying. And as you mentioned, it's found on their website. So if they didn't think this was important, why, number one, did they have this in their magazine? And number two, why did they make this the main feature of this issue?
Yeah, I would say most people, and probably most Latter-day Saints, would have no problem saying that this is something that Mormons are supposed to believe and heed. Of course, we always do run across those who don't seem to really care what their publications say or even what their own leaders have to say. They have their own private view and understanding of Mormonism. And of course, that's not the accepted norm. They're just not allowed really to do that. You're not allowed to be a rogue or even what one Mormon leader called a cafeteria type of Mormonism where you pick and choose what you like and not take what you don't like. This is very important because this is really the crux of Mormonism, covenant keeping.
And yesterday we were talking about the importance of keeping our promises. A covenant is a two-way promise. They've conflated several quotes put together on page 23 in the center column. And in that center column, I just want to read it because it re-emphasizes what we talked about yesterday. It says, a covenant is a two-way promise. God promises us certain blessings in return for our keeping the terms we accepted when making the covenant. And yesterday we talked about this is kind of like an agreement you make when you buy a car or something like that. You shake on it, you sign papers, you say, I will pay my premiums, I will pay a monthly, whatever I'm supposed to pay, I get to keep my car until I'm all paid up. Mm-hmm. There is an agreement you make. And in the same way, According to Mormonism, you have to pay your end of the bargain, and then you get to receive, as it said in that introduction, you eventually get to receive eternal life. You can't get eternal life until you're done paying.
Going back to that analogy you gave, if you stop making the payment, they take the car back.
They do.
You stop paying the mortgage, they take the house back.
So you don't really own the house.
You really don't. If I'm filling out a form and it says, do you own your home? Most of us would say, yes, okay, we do own our home. But really, what that implies is that I'm living in a house that I'm paying for, and when I'm done paying, it definitely will be mine. However, technically, the bank still owns it until I make that final payment, and it is the deed is actually in my hands. And it works that same way in this application in Mormonism. There are things that Mormons must do if they hope to receive the benefits. And this is one aspect that has always bothered many of us that are Bible-believing Christians, mainly because some of the covenants that they make are really impossible to keep, but yet they are compelled to make them on a regular basis. So we're going to look at some of these covenants that Latter-day Saints are supposed to make. This one, Eric, is on page 22, Baptism and Confirmation.
Yeah, and this is what it says in the second paragraph. When we are baptized, we covenant to take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, to always remember him, and to keep his commandments.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
Do you think when a Mormon is making that covenant, and he's told that he's supposed to keep his commandments, do you think the average Latter-day Saint assumes that means some of them?
Not one would think that.
I've never heard a Latter-day Saint yet tell me that when he makes this covenant, he's actually making a deal with God that he will keep some of them. When Mormon leaders in General Conference talk about keeping the commandments, do you really think they're implying that you only need to keep some of them? If you listen to this show regularly, this might sound a little redundant, but it bears repeating. Every Latter-day Saint that we have spoken to, and folks, over the years, over almost four decades, we have talked to hundreds and hundreds of Latter-day Saints, and when they talk about keeping the commandments, it's always about keeping all of them. And as we've said, we've never found one who's doing that. We've never found one who is keeping all the commandments. How do we know that? Well, all we do is ask them, well, do you ever find yourself having to repent? They all do. Well, you only need to repent when you break a commandment, which means you broke a covenant because you promised to keep his commandments and you didn't, if you're a Latter-day Saint.
Well, now that you brought up that repentance and gospel fundamentals, the church manual on page 67, it says, our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins. But that's not the end. It says, to repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them.
When I quoted this on a blog site not too terribly long ago, it wasn't our blog site, Mormon Coffee, it was another one. A Mormon actually wrote back and said that this manual was outdated. Well, I bought one of these, another one, just 2 days ago. It's still on sale at the distribution center. It is dated. I'm looking at not the title page, the page after. It was dated 2002. So are we to understand that somehow this eternal law was changed since 2002? Not hardly. So any Mormon who thinks that this manual is out of date really needs to do their homework before they make a comment like that.
And notice it says sins. To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them. Not just a sin, but your sins, and to stop doing all of them is what the assumption is.
Certainly. The assumption is not some of them.
Right.
In fact, Spencer Kimball and guys like that, they make it very clear. Sixth President Joseph F. Smith, he said this, true repentance is not only sorrow for sins and humble penitence and contrition before God, but it involves the necessity of turning away from them, a discontinuance of all evil practices and deeds, a thorough reformation of life, a vital change from evil to good, from vice to virtue, from darkness to light. Not only so, but to make restitution so far as it is possible for all the wrongs we have done, to pay our debts and restore to God and man their rights. that which is due to them from us. This is true repentance, and the exercise of the will and all the powers of body and mind is demanded to complete this glorious work of repentance. Then God will accept it. Now, a Mormon might say, well, that's Joseph F. Smith. He was the sixth president of the church. That came from a book, Gospel Doctrine, that was written a long time ago, page 100, 101. But it's also found in the Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, Religion 231 and 232, page 40, a manual that's still being used today, a manual that has been vetted by the First Presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That is the definition of repentance.
And we're just going off of what they say. We're not trying to make this up.
No, and it's not that Christians don't have a belief in repentance, because I've had a Mormon actually write me recently and say, that's the difference between you and us. We believe in repentance and you don't. No, that's not true. We do. But we believe in the definition of repentance that's implied in the New Testament, and it is certainly a turning away and a change of heart. But it does not imply a 100% success rate at keeping all the commandments. That's not what that word implies.
Let me finish this quote from the baptism confirmation section in the Ensign of July 2012 on page 23. It goes on and says, we also promise, besides keeping his commandments, we promise to serve him to the end. And it quotes D&C 20, verse 37. And then it says this, in return, Heavenly Father promises that if we repent of our sins, we can be forgiven and always have His Spirit with us, a promise made possible in part through the receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so they use this idea of repentance, but as we're talking about here, Bill, to repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them. If you're going to keep your end of the bargain, you're going to stop doing the sins.
Do you think Thomas Monson stopped doing that? I tend to not think so.
No.
Because, as again we've mentioned before, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we need to rely totally on the mercy of God, something that cannot be earned. And as you've heard us mention many times, there are plenty of Mormon leaders that even think mercy has to be earned, which of course nullifies the whole word. We're going to be looking at this some more, because this is a very important topic that needs to be discussed. Hope you'll join us tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.